Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Everyone is Addicted. Today's guest, Zach, has graciously come on to share his knowledge and his experience with addiction. So welcome, Zach. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with us, and well, with me at least. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Zach. So I was addicted to stimulants, methamphetamine, and Adderall for about 2 to 2.5 years. I was hooked on this stuff. And, you know, just a lot of things happened throughout my life that caused me to get addicted. And then when I finally got clean, you know, I decided that there's zero chance I'm going to stay clean if I don't replace this addiction with something that I'm just as addicted to, but a positive thing. And mm-hmm. that is helping others. It's about I get to share all the knowledge that I've gained about substances and also help other people get out of the situation that I was in and share knowledge and tips. It just seemed like the perfect thing for me. And that's the reason why I got into the things that I did.
Well, if anybody knows, Zach does videos on Instagram about awareness, drug awareness, and he is very, very knowledgeable and very, very passionate about it if you've seen his videos. So I was really excited to talk to him. But so like with the Adderall, was it something that was prescribed or was it something? Yeah. And
So the Adderall, so it started out as a prescription, but the thing was the doctor didn't tell me that, oh, this is an addictive substance. This, you can get hooked on it. So he gave me a dose. And before that first dose even kicked in, I was a straight-laced person, but I got hooked on it instantly. Before the first dose even hit, I took double that because I was like, I'm not feeling it yet. And then both doses hit, and then I realized, wow, this is euphoric. And then I kept taking more. And then eventually the 20 milligrams didn't do anything. So I upped it to 40, upped it to 60. And then I'm on the max dose of this. And then I associated Adderall with euphoria. And when my tolerance went up and the euphoria went away, the doctor didn't tell me it was supposed to be like that. So I had to graduate to other things and take my entire prescription in a couple days just to get the same feeling. So I wanted to bring awareness because a lot of meth addictions, probably one of the most common ways meth addictions start is getting prescribed Adderall as a kid. And we want to bring awareness to that.
I 100% agree. Anybody that I know that has had a meth addiction, it started with Adderall or Vyvanse or Ritalin, one of those ones, you know what I mean? That's for ADHD yeah. and stuff like that, right? And it definitely leads right to the meth and then the psychosis of the meth. And I'm just like, even for me, with my first Percocet, I took it because I had my back hurt, and my spouse had knee surgery, and he had Percocets in the house, and he's like, well, if he didn't have that addictive personality that I have, right, plus my dad had mm-hmm. passed away, so I was trying to cope in my own way, and I took that, and the same thing, the euphoria of it was like, whoa, and something I yeah. never experienced in my whole life, and I just kept going, and then you hit that tolerance, and then you go onto the streets because you can't get anymore, or if you can, you have to pay a lot for Oxy anyways. So I graduated to fentanyl, which later led me to a methadone clinic. But so for you, when did you like start to feel like it was starting to become a problem for you?
I went hard and quick right up. So it was about 3 months when I finally landed myself in the mental hospital for the first time. And then I realized, Oh, wow. And they gave me misdiagnosis and stuff. They said I had bipolar, which I actually didn't, because they have to throw out a diagnosis for everyone that goes there. So that's when I realized I actually had a problem when I was getting hospitalized.
Well, that you know what they say that you should be clean like before they give you diagnoses because your brain is still messed up from drugs and stuff. Like I got my first mental health assessment after a year of being clean, right? And I couldn't
Yeah.
imagine having it done right away because it would have been way different than what actually ended up being in the end when I was sober for a year, opposed to right coming in from, doing drugs and your mind hasn't had time to heal whatsoever, especially with the dopamine issues, you know what I mean? Because
Yeah.
I don't know if meth depletes your dopamine or Adderall the same way that like benzos and opiates do. So do they do that too?
Yeah, they drain it in a crazy, like it's super physiological, the level of dopamine that Adderall and meth drain. It's 1,200 units for methamphetamine and 1,000 for Adderall and other amphetamines. So they're very similar to each other. But meth is just way more neurotoxic. So it kind of just, the amount of dopamine is crazy. Like it took me at least 9 to 10 months being sober off everything just to finally like, wow, I feel like kind of like myself as a kid again, like just slightly. And I'm not even fully back a year after being sober off meth, but you know, I'm getting there each and every day. So it definitely had a big impact on the dopamine for sure.
Well, because I was wondering, just because like for me, I was a heavy benzodiazepine user, right? And that really it makes your brain actually stop producing dopamine. So same thing, and it's like some people it takes like 5 years for them to fully reproduce dopamine, and I'm sure it's the same for it depends on the length of time you've used the drug for, obviously, right? That makes it easier for, well, it's I feel like for at least benzos, it's because your brain, if you've used them for say 20 years, your brain hasn't been producing dopamine for 20 years, so it takes a lot longer than somebody like me that maybe used them for 3 or 4, and I still don't feel like 100% either, but it's like yeah, you're getting there and you can feel it, but at the same time, it's like it does take a while, and I know like with opiates they deplete it too, and I mean with alcohol, I don't know, that's all alcohol and benzos, they give you almost the same effect, but with benzos you can think clearly, you don't black out, right? But
Yeah.
cocaine does the same thing. It depletes the hell out of your dopamine. Trust me. I remember waking up from doing it and having panic attacks for like a week. So I couldn't imagine like meth because I just know meth is so much stronger. And it from what I like my sister-in-law uses it. So I do have some experience in seeing people use it. And the fact that you don't sleep for, I don't know though, because she's not ADHD. I know if you have ADHD, it affects you differently, but she
Yeah,
doesn't
for sure.
sleep at all, right? So then she goes into psychosis because she doesn't have the sleep, right? But for you with having ADHD, it didn't, it did it still make you like that uppity high, or did it calm you down?
At low doses, it caused the calming effect. But I mean, people say people with ADHD cannot get addicted, but I 100% think that they're even at a much higher risk for addiction because it like feels like, oh wow, this is how I should have felt my whole life once it first hits and stuff. And then that's when it has you hooked just instantly. Like, literally, the first time you try it, you can be already hooked for quite a few people. Like, at least for me, first time I tried it with ADHD, provided such a calming mental clarity type of effect. Wasn't even like super stimmed or anything. But then I took more and more, and that's when it started to get into this tweaking in my room for like 15 hours straight in the same position, and then getting up to take a redose, and then going right back to that same position. And that's just how it was for months upon months upon months. And then I get sent off to a hospital. And then repeat the cycle over and over again.
That's scary. I couldn't imagine like that experience for you. Like I can see why you want to bring awareness to this because like I said, like I don't have a whole lot of experience with meth, but in my area it's not an overly popular drug. Where I live, it's all about the fentanyl, right? So meth's not a huge Like, I've never really encountered anybody who's ever really offered it to me. But at the same time, our fentanyl here is, like, I'm in Canada. Our fentanyl here is cut with meth because I thought I had never done meth before. Went to the methadone clinic to get clean, and my drug test said I had meth in my system. And I'm like, I've never done meth. They're like, well, drug fentanyl, it isn't like like unless you get it from the doctor, it's not clean at all. And it's not consistent whatsoever. And I even just talked to somebody yesterday about this, and he said, like, if even in an Ativan, there's these three girls who bought an Ativan, they cut it into three, and one of them overdosed from fentanyl, and two of them were fine because it's not mixed properly. So even if you use the test strips, it doesn't really work. So it's the same thing with how I didn't think I had done meth, but that's what actually had caused my husband's heart attacks was the meth that was in the fentanyl that we were using. So
Wow.
it's just because like you said, it just like makes you. We weren't obviously just doing a little bit, you know what I mean? We were
Yeah.
heavy opiate users, so it was not a little bit. And so he just after so much abuse of opiates and then putting that in his body, it really just sent him over the edge. But getting back to your experiences, so then what was it that, so you said like you want, like you, so how did you actually get clean? There we go. I'll stop word souping and just ask you directly.
All right, so I was on my, I believe it was my second or third from last binge. I would just pull benders, stay up for, I would always plan on, oh, we're going to do it responsible this time, but it would always end up being multiple nights awake. So I was on this one, and then I just got realization of this stuff. I just randomly, it was during the come down, so this is a time where I would normally feel super depressed and anhedonic and stuff, but no, it just hit me all of a sudden, and I felt like I had a vision from God. And just that this is what I'm supposed to do. My purpose in life is to help others, to provide addiction on info. And it was so clear, and I had never felt such clarity during a come down. I was always super depressed, self-mutilating during my come downs. And it just felt like a weird sense of clarity this time. And I just felt something was different. So I filmed myself making videos for like over an hour, just like sent them right to my mom, like about what my plan is for my life. And something rewired in my brain after that day. To like, I mean, I did two more binges after that, but something rewired and I
What a
just
key.
started building habits.
That's awesome. So I kind of had the same experience where I took meth. I don't take methadone. It's very, very addictive. But it was my first dose of methadone, and I was laying in bed trying to avoid my phone so that I didn't buy more drugs. And I looked out the window, and the sun just shone in a certain way where I was like, this is a sign that I need to get better. And same kind of thing. It was like a sign from God. It's like I also need to tell my doctor like I can't take methadone and that I need to get sober and figure out like it was just like that warm feeling. And it just like you said, like that clarity. And I was like, I want to help people. Because I don't want anybody else to have to feel the way.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
I feel right now because I felt like death and I wanted to. At first, I started a homeless resource program and I moved on from there to do different things. But now, obviously, with I do the podcast because what it was the same kind of thing with that too. I was walking through a heavily populated homeless area and people were being really mean to the homeless. And I was like, nobody woke up one morning when they were like five and somebody said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they were like, oh, homeless and addicted, right? So I was
Yeah.
like, these people obviously have a reason to be here. There's obviously a story here, like a reason. And so I don't know, it just popped in my head to like start the same thing, like bringing awareness to it. And I feel like that's like the blessing of being an addict is being able to, after you do find recovery, being able to, share and help with people in any way, shape, or form that you can, right? Now, I
Yeah.
noticed that you have on your page a one-on-one call. So do you also help guide people when they're struggling?
Yeah, so I'm not a therapist or doctor or anything, obviously, but what I like to do is just provide support one-on-one with people who really just need someone to talk to. And the thing is, the difference between a therapist and doctor, yes, they have all the professional knowledge, but there's something about someone just talking one-on-one with someone who actually understands it, like who's been through it themselves, that's just different. So that's why I decided to provide that service, just seeing who wants it and stuff. And then my DMs as well, that's where I do my majority of helping is just through the DMs. Like voice messages and stuff like that. But I do have that as an option if anyone wants it.
Well, that's the thing that like I find too is doctors and therapists are very textbook, and I've talked to so many people on here that say like you can't help somebody unless you understand what they're going through, because it the, you'll put a wall up. I know that myself. Like if I'm talking to a counselor that is talking to me very textbook, I put a wall right up. I
Yeah.
can't talk to you, right? But if it's somebody that, has gone through the same thing as me or has maybe longer sobriety or a method that resonates with me or something like that, I walls drop. I'm like, you understand me. So I think that's a really good thing to be providing people because, yeah, you're not a doctor, but you also I can tell you've done research on these things, and I mean, Google's amazing for like you can learn so much just from looking online about these kinds of things and being the experience that you've been through on your own. You could really help somebody that's feeling alone, feeling like, they don't have anybody that they can resonate with. They watch their videos, they can message you, and you're like, see, I can talk to
Yes.
you. I think it's so smart to do it that way. I think that's great. So how long now have you been, well, like you said about a year now you've been doing the awareness and stuff like that?
No, since November 5th of 2024, that's when I got clean off methamphetamine. And then the awareness stuff, I've been doing it since it's been about 4 to 5 months now. So it has not been. Since I got clean off meth, that I did the awareness.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Probably needed a little time to kind of heal yourself, right? Like, I get
Yeah,
it.
for sure. And then I can
I
pursue it super relentlessly because it just, I have such a passion for it that it's not even like I have to. I mean, it takes a little bit of discipline, but most of it's just like pure, just, it's just something I've been through. So I'm so passionate about it and I just want to get back. That's the biggest part that, for me at least.
Where if you guys watch his videos on Instagram, it's like the passion is like, holy cow, you can tell that Zach really, really cares. Like, definitely cares. I'm just coming from a place of I seen him on Instagram and I haven't really seen anybody that passionate about helping people and honestly just wanting to help people, not trying to sell a brand behind helping people. So I was just so astonished that somebody was actually out there doing that. And not having like some underlying reason for doing it. You know what I mean? So I just
Yeah.
thought it was so cool that you were just genuinely wanting to help like people
Yeah.
where a lot of people have that back bit, where they're trying to sell something and they are acting passionate, but then they'll get you to do a one-on-one and then they'll be like, well, I have
Sure.
this, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's so great. So what do you think you're gonna want to go towards in the future?
My goal in the future, I've only been on one other podcast and I told them this that I wanted to open up a rehab facility eventually with like and have like a new method at that, like have a professional's opinion, take in the addict's opinion, have like my opinion, like just someone else who's been through an addiction, and then like mash each and every one of these up together to create like a better plan. Like usually they just take like a professional's opinion. And the addict doesn't get too much say into what's going on. Maybe they get a little bit, but it's just not quite enough to actually formulate a plan they'll truly stick to. A lot of it just seems like a big money grab, you know, and I just would like to reinvent, if possible, you know, just have like a different system going on in the rehab because, you know, a lot of it's not working for quite a bit of people from what I've heard. So.
That's what a lot of people I don't know if you ever heard of naltrexone before, but it's a drinking related medication, and it's the Sinclair method that goes along with it. Now, when you talk to a lot of people that are involved in the naltrexone world, they will say that rehabs have this cycle where they kind of do it on purpose to make money, right? So
Yeah.
I think your idea is amazing, because I know that from talking to so many people that kind of work in the industry, but not in the rehab industry, will say that there's a little bit of a cycle that they kind of you'll see somebody come back. They like even there'll be people that have worked in rehabs and have decided to move on and try to do other things because they've seen them do this, right? Where it's like
Yeah.
somebody will leave and then they'll be back 2 months later or 6 months or whatever it is, right? Especially if they're in like a 30-day inpatient program, or even if they're in a 90-day, you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
it is the textbook blah blah blah, and it's also they don't give them the tools after they leave, right? So like, and they don't have people that to talk to that have gone through it, like you said, right? So then
Yeah.
I love that idea, because then you could have the clinical, you can have the experience, and then you can have somebody help you do a plan for when you leave. Like it's a really, really good idea, and I foresee that taking off. The more that you gain traction, the more I think people will reach out to you and grab onto that idea. Do you know what I mean? Because it's
Yeah.
a very smart idea, and it's a very, I think it would break that cycle of people coming in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, or even people having to go to psych wards. Like, I mean, that kind of would remove that too, because you're able to, come down without the textbook doctor being like, oh, well, you're going through psychosis, you need to go right now to the psych
Oh, yeah.
and all that kind of stuff, right? So I
Yeah.
think it would be amazing to see that happen. You're located in the US, right?
Yeah.
So that's the only thing, because here we get in Canada, our healthcare is free, right? So we get a lot of things a little bit easier, I guess you'd say, right? Where like
Yeah.
with that, it would be, I guess you could be nonprofit. Like I know people who do nonprofits like that with homeless shelters and stuff, right? We just need to find somebody just that believes in your what you're saying, and helps sponsor you and stuff. And I mean, with the drive that you have and the passion, I could see you pitching some pretty big people and then being like, okay, that kid's got it. I
Yeah, that'd
sincerely
be absolutely amazing.
so in saying that, do you already, like, I know you have a friend that helps you do videos. Does he help you with does he help you with anything else? Like, or, well, I guess, sorry, we'll backtrack. With your friend that helps you with the videos, is he also somebody that has had addiction and you guys kind of work together?
No, he has actually never had an addiction, and he has just started helping me like in the past couple weeks. I include him for so for my addiction skits. I have a character named Hank that I include. He wears the same thing every time to like play the same character, so people get to know him and his character. So that's the character, and he just represents like the caregiver, the person that's around the attic watching it unfold. And then I represent the addict who doesn't want to get clean in the scripts that like starts tweaking or just behaving like a lot of addicts would. And I slightly exaggerate it for the people just to make it more entertaining for even casual viewers to like understand addiction a little more just to retain the views. But I also make it realistic enough to apply exactly to my experiences that I had and that I believe a lot of other addicts would have as well.
Oh, I don't even think that it's even really over the top, actually, because even if you watch Intervention, you know what I mean? Families have a really hard time, and loved ones, with dealing with people and while they're still actively using, and people do act pretty out of control and don't realize it. Like, I mean, I've seen some pretty crazy things on Intervention where the people actually aren't acting. So for me, I don't really think that it really looks over the top, actually. It kind of seems like a pretty accurate representation of what the family member's going through and what the addict is creating, the chaos. And that's why I call my show Everyone's Addicted, because you have the addict, and then you have the family and the loved ones that get sucked into it. And then when the person gets sober, you also have them learning how to trust you again and stuff like that, which is also another process in itself, right?
Yeah.
Have you been able to reconcile with the people that, like, your family and stuff like that?
The majority of them, the majority at least, but I mean, there's some things that have not been fully cleaned up yet. But there's a few family members who like kind of have cut contact with me due to the things that I would talk about during addiction. It didn't really have too much to do with my addiction, more just like things I broke, like brutal truths that I would like tell them about, like my trauma and what actually I think caused my addiction. So, but yeah, they cut contact with me, some of them.
I used to that too. When I drank, I used to get mad. Like, the things that people had done to me, I wouldn't express it, and then I would drink and then start calling and texting and just losing my crap on them and saying, like, all these horrible, horrible things, like the meanest things.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
You could think of, just because I couldn't express that when I was sober, so it came out really nasty. Or, you know what? I was pretty much Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I remember sitting there, and my friend's girlfriend was sitting there, and I was like, you know what? To her, I'm like, you look like a pig. And I just like that kind of stuff, right? So
Yeah.
I get what you're saying with that. Because there's only so much abuse people can take from you, from my end of it, or just crazy stuff that you're saying to them, that it's like they just don't want to hear it, and they don't always understand that you can get better, you know what I mean? Or takes a little while. They always say, clean up your side of the street, people will come around, and that's kind of what it's been like for me, with friends and stuff like that, right? Because that's who I used to go off on, was friends of mine. I remember I had this friend from AA way back when I was 24, which is over 10. I'm just counting how old I am. I'm 37, so I was 24 then, so over 10 years. And he was sober, and I used to go off on him over being sober for no reason. And then I ran into him at a Celebrate Recovery meeting, and it was a pretty awkward, interaction. He's like, don't talk about the past, please, at this meeting, because of the things I had said to him, right? Don't talk about it, because he knew I had just been so awful. He didn't really want to have to hear that again, me like talking about my addictions and stuff and being like, and I was mean to him. So him and I don't speak or anything, and he was definitely like, yeah, just don't talk to me. So I get that. And that's 10 years later. So I was not, I know I wasn't nice. I can remember. And that would create my anxiety, and that's where my benzo usage would come from, because I would do such horrible things, and then I'd have panic attacks, and my doctor would be like, oh, here you go, here's some clonazepam to calm you down, you know what I mean? That does like the same thing as with Adderall. They don't tell you how addictive it is, and it is very, very addictive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't know like that Adderall and stuff was that addictive until really just talking to people who had that's where they started. You know what I mean? Because like it does, like you said, like, it's not really widely talked about. Even my 4-year-old, well, he's gonna be 4 very shortly. My 4-year-old nephew is prescribed Ritalin. Like that's starting real young, you know what I mean? Like, so
Yeah, it is.
that's scary from what you said to setting him up for his future. Do you know what I mean? And like for you, I'm just wondering from the tolerance perspective, how fast was it to become tolerant and have to move up?
All right, so the first time started with 10, about 20 milligrams for maybe 2 to 3 days, and then 30 milligrams I needed a couple days later just to feel what 20 did. And then within 2 weeks, I was already at 50 milligrams. And then I went up to the max dose 60 because 60 is the max dose. So literally in less than a month, I was already at 60. And I remember snapping at my mom in the car one day because it finally stopped giving me the euphoria after about 3 weeks to a month. Just one day we were getting Chinese food, I'll never forget. And it just snapped. And then just randomly, I was like, what? I just couldn't believe it. And then I just researched how to get meth after that. And I found out all the things and I got hooked on that. And then I would use Adderall still at that same time. So I had my prescription every month coming in from the doctor and I was using the meth as well. And I would just go through it like candy up to 600 milligrams a day at my absolute max. And just, yeah, just complete tolerance just went up. Like people like say, how are you even alive after taking 600 milligrams? But it's just like opiates. Someone who with a tolerance can literally take 50 to 100 times more than someone who's never took it before. Same with the Adderall, like it really, really goes up like crazy. So
Because I found the same thing with opiate tolerance. That's why I was wondering because it goes up so fast. I remember going from taking one to taking five to taking 15 to taking 20 and then moving on to, getting instead of Percocets, getting like Oxy 80s and Oxy 60s and you know what I mean? And it was just the same kind of thing. It just kept getting higher and higher and higher and higher, and then finally going to the fentanyl because you can't get anything stronger than that at the time, at least you can now because they have carfentanil and they put brazoline in it, which is elephant tranquilizer, so that was even stronger. But at the time, fentanyl was the highest you could get, and because I was an alcoholic. Fentanyl gives you pretty much the same high. Like you black out. I would wake up with burn holes all over. I don't know how I'm still alive because it booze didn't knock me out like that, but it would knock me out, and I would literally just obviously drop cigarettes and be covered in burn holes, blankets, everything covered in burn holes, and I'd look at them and be like, "How did I not set myself on fire?" Like it's crazy. And but that's just like opiates are downers, so you do pass out, right? So, but with meth, I did see a video you did. How long? Because people will say, I've heard somebody, I think she was just talking crap, saying, "Oh, I stayed up for 13 days." Now I seen what you said. How long do people actually stay awake for before they crash on meth and Adderall and stuff?
All right, so based off brain scans, anyone who stays awake for 36 to 48 hours, they do have micro sleeps, micro slips. There's almost nobody, they said there's no one that's ever recorded that stayed up for 72 hours without any 10-second lapses. So the addict is most likely in psychosis. They have a bunch of time distortion going on. One day might feel like 5 days, 5 days might feel like one day. They never know. Also, the micro sleeps, you're asleep, so you don't know that you actually fell asleep when you're in this psychotic state. Like I would stay up for like 4 days, but I guarantee I had a bunch of micro sleeps. But then once I would take a dose, even after being up for 4 days, I would literally get knocked out. Like I could take like a huge dose, and then 10 minutes later, I just fall asleep for the next 12, 15 hours plus. Like it just is not possible. A lot of them lose track of time. They're probably not actually keeping track of their time because micro sleeps are inevitable. You literally cannot control that. So, yeah,
Well, that's what I thought because I seen your video and I knew this girl that said, "Oh, I stayed up for I think it was like 10 or 13 days." And then and I seen that video you did and I was like, "Oh, that makes sense that maybe she's not realizing that she is having these like micro sleeps, right?" And I dated somebody when I was in high school who had catastrophic brain damage and he did cocaine and it actually made it so he could not sleep, and he went into psychosis because he did not sleep for over 72 hours. So I know that if you actually don't sleep for 72 hours, you're not going to be functional, like she would say, or like she would act like she was. She was just probably losing time, right? Where he didn't, and he had to spend like a month in the mental institution for not sleeping for. I think it was like 4 days or something like that. And that's how messed up his brain was from not actually sleeping. But he had brain damage, which would lead to the fact that he would have this happen often where he couldn't sleep. And then he would go into the psychoses that were pretty nuts. But he's passed now, but I think that's best for him. He was struggling very hard. He also got diagnosed with schizophrenia. So I think the schizophrenia, the drugs, and the brain damage was really what was causing the psychosis and the non-sleep here, right? And it's a little bit of a different story than a regular person, right? Like this girl I'm talking about who is like, "Oh yeah, I stayed up for so long, blah, blah, blah," right? Where I heard your video, and I'm like, no, there's no way she stayed up that long. And she's just, the mother of a friend of my, like, she's just a mother of my daughter's two friends. So I didn't really believe her when she said that to me, but that's why I wanted to ask somebody who would actually answer me like properly and not just make stuff up, right? So I feel
There
like
are micro sleeps. There are some that last up to an hour. Like some people, that's not technically considered a micro sleep, but sometimes they will just crash for like an hour while they're in their chair, maybe doing their art or something, and they won't even notice because they're already in psychosis. Like I bet that stuff happened to me at some point as well. So it could be something like that. But to actually just stay awake without any lapses in consciousness, without falling asleep, it's impossible.
Even like my daughter's father, he would he's a homeless addict right now. He uses intravenously whatever he gets his hands on, so I can't say it's one specific drug. But I remember he would stay up for maybe I would say 2 days, and then he would fall asleep so deeply that you couldn't wake him up no matter what you tried to do. And so I don't know if that did that ever happen to you when you would stay up for a couple days?
Yeah, it even happened to me in the psych ward, but sometimes it's the downers that they would give me. The downers, like they wouldn't pay attention and lower my blood pressure, and they're like shaking my body and I'm waking up, and they're like trying to feel my chest and stuff. But I mean, it's the downers they literally gave me to knock me out because I was in psychosis. So yeah, that stuff would happen to me, but not off without taking downers. It never happened like just if I went to sleep naturally on my own. No, but with the
Okay.
downers for sure.
Well, like I said, he did drug cocktails, right? Like, I mean, he even shot up our dog's medication. So he just has a really big problem with all the drugs. I can't just say there's one for him. But like, I know people who like smoke crack and stuff. They will stay up and then they'll crash really hard too, right? So I know that it depends on what it is, but I know meth's a whole different ball game than those other kind of drugs because like with cocaine and cooking it into crack, it's still not as strong as meth and even Adderall or Vyvanse, right? Like my brother-in-law's prescribed 60 milligrams of Vyvanse and he's supposed to take two a day. He doesn't take them, but I had a friend of mine find them at my house because she has problems herself and took one and said, "Oh my God, I thought I was dying." So I couldn't imagine how you felt with the Adderall, with the meth, like I know once your body becomes tolerant to these things, you can take larger doses, but I don't know how you didn't have a heart attack yourself with all of that medication and like the
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Meth and stuff like that, because like your heart must have been like, was it like, did
Yeah, I
that.
mean the resting heart rate, like 175, like the resting heart rate is sometimes it was insane.
I
Like I
couldn't
couldn't even
imagine.
stand up really.
That's so scary. You're so lucky that you decided to get better before something really bad happened, because if you that's your resting heart rate, you can't live like that for very long, you know? And
Oh.
I think that's so scary. And I also think like with meth, it can also be just like fentanyl and be kind of dirty too, right? Like mixed with other things,
Oh,
and
for sure.
you don't know what exactly what you're getting. Well, it depends, I guess, on who you're getting it from. You know what I mean? Like some people
Yeah.
might understand how to make it better than others, I guess. And like for me, I live in a pretty rural area, so I don't think if I was to get it, it would be very clean, you know, because I know that even the fentanyl wasn't clean. And like,
Yeah, and sometimes just meth is laced with fentanyl sometimes now.
yeah,
Yeah.
that's crazy.
Yes.
But so then from in your opinion, because I know that you've done talks about this before, what would you say is the worst drug to have to withdraw from?
Worst symptom-wise would definitely be opioids by far, fentanyl, carfentanil. That's going to be the worst symptom-wise. But then the most dangerous are going to be benzos and alcohol because those ones can actually kill you. So technically they're the worst because they're the ones that can kill you. But symptom-wise, it's opioids. And then psychologically, it's going to be meth for sure. Like psychologically, just the pull it has on your brain. It's not really physically addictive at all, but mentally addictive. It's way more mentally addictive than any other substance. But the physical side is very lenient on the meth. So that's what I would say about that.
Because I find it interesting, because like a lot of people I've seen it with meth, like you said, it is so psychological that it I've heard them say that like they've had to battle for a long time to deal with that. And I mean, I've been through the other ones for the withdrawal, and at the end of my show, I actually do put a disclaimer that if you're coming off of benzos or alcohol, don't do it cold turkey without going to detox or going to the emergency room, because exactly like you said, you can die very easily, especially if you're alone, right? And opiates,
Yeah.
yeah, I take Suboxone, so it relieves the withdrawal symptoms, because that's the problem, is you don't want to feel that sick, so you just keep take going out and getting more of the substance because you don't want to feel sick, and that's like the biggest issue. But then if they give you methadone, I actually fell higher off the methadone than I did off of the fentanyl and the oxy and everything else, right? So, and if you really like, as much as I'm gonna be pop culture-y here, Eminem, that's what got him sober. He overdosed on methadone and almost died, and that's why he's sober now too, right? So it is another drug that's addictive, but nobody really talks about that. And You lose your teeth, your bones get weak. It's really actually not good for you. I'm not going to say Suboxone is any better in a way because the withdrawal from that when you stop taking it is going to be the same as the withdrawal from opiates, right? So it's kind of
Yeah.
counterproductive in that way. It takes this withdrawal symptoms away, but when you stop taking it, the withdrawal symptoms come back. Yes, you're not high all day, but you're gonna feel like crap later, you know, when you stop taking it, right? So
Yeah.
kind of sucks. Is there any there this is actually a question I have been wondering myself. Is there anything that they can give you to help with coming off of meth?
Yes, so in other countries, I believe Canada has this as an option. They actually give people Adderall, so they take, but for me that wouldn't have worked, I don't think, because it's
Yeah.
like I took, that's like my step up, but they do actually give some meth addicts Adderall to come off, and they find great success with it, some of them. But I don't think they offer that service in the US at all. I've never at least heard of it, but someone told me about that, so they do.
Because yeah, that I guess if you didn't start with the Adderall, that would be effective. But if you did start with the Adderall, it probably wouldn't be effective. But I can see
Yeah.
how it would work for some people. And like, but that's like anything, right? Some things work for some people, some things don't work for some people. So you didn't really have anything to help you then when you were coming off, eh? You just had to do it mentally yourself.
I mean, I did when I was coming off, I did do the Adderall a few times, but I wasn't supposed to be doing that at all, but I did do that. And did it help me? I wouldn't say it helped me at all. No, it was all kind of just neutral. That was definitely just a coping mechanism. Because at the end of the day, cold turkey is what worked best for me. Just no dopamine for a while, but cold turkey is the absolute best method. And then once my dopamine recovered enough to be sensitized to basic stimulants, I just added some basic caffeine in there. Now that gives me enough of a boost. It doesn't give me any of the euphoria or anything, but that's the point. Because when you're on meth and Adderall, everything you do is fueled by the meth and Adderall. You're not actually doing anything. You're not building real skills like discipline, and you're not being goal-oriented. You're just driven by this artificial machine. But on stuff like caffeine, like most addicts like think, oh, I'll never be able to feel stuff like that again. But no, you actually will once your receptors down-regulate enough. Caffeine has been a great game changer for me. And then just finding a passion, something that I'm addicted to now that's positive, and just sticking to it every day and putting as much time into my passion as I would my drug in the past. And it has been working great for me. Wonders.
I think that is something great to be said, honestly, is taking your passion that is a positive thing and being able to, you know, cold turkey and put your focus into that. And it's positive, it's helping people, it's bringing awareness. It's obviously 10 times better than what would have been if you didn't stop. I love it. I think it's the smartest. Like, I did the same thing, so I understand what you mean. Like, throwing yourself into something positive takes away that craving feeling, I guess, because you're and I drink caffeine myself, so yeah, but and that does help too with my dopamine. Now, like, I wouldn't say I get high from it, but I'm able to not feel tired and but not tired, like, I don't feel that restless, tired, but not tired feeling, right? I can kind of
Yeah.
focus, and I mean. I sometimes have a very hard time focusing on things, so I kind of need the caffeine to kind of put myself forward, I guess you could say. So I totally agree with that. But I just, like, honestly, thank you so much for talking to me because I really think you're very, very insightful, and I just think you're so passionate that, especially because you're a bit younger, you'll be able to. Since you're starting so much younger, you're going to be able to go so much further. Do you know what I mean? Because you'll be able, you have the time, you know? It's not like you've got kids and, you know, everything else that's on your plate, you know what I mean? Which is what everybody told me when I was 24 and stopped drinking the first time, but I didn't listen and I kept going for 10 more years. So, it's really great to see that you were able to get clean and stay clean at a younger age because honestly, trying to start again when you're older is a lot harder than when you're younger, I will from experience. Like I was sober for 3 years and then I relapsed and that was just not pretty. And then I got sober again and then relapsed again. You know what I'm saying? So like starting over when I finally got fully clean, I was 33. And I wished now that I would have gotten it at 24 because I would have been able to accomplish so much more with what I want to do with helping people and like moving into what I want to do with helping people in addiction and stuff like that. But I have two kids which really take up a lot of time because they've got sports and they have this and that and school things and it's always something that comes up. I also go to college, so that's kind of my fault. I kind of take on, that's the problem with me is the addiction now is that I take on too much because I want to make sure my brain doesn't go somewhere it shouldn't, right? So, but before I let you go, do you have a website or anything that people could contact you at, or what's your Instagram handle, or just how can people get a hold of you?
My Instagram handle is at, it's just ZT underscore speaks. I answer all my DMs on there, so I will respond. And that's probably the best place to reach me. Also, TikTok, it's under the same exact handle. YouTube, Facebook, I got it on all four platforms.
Perfect. Just because, yeah, I just want to make sure if anybody did want to get a hold of you that they could. So, before I completely let you go, I appreciate everything you've said, but do you have any last little nuggets of wisdom before I let you go?
I have one question. Would it be possible if I introduced my helper, the guy who helps me out on some of my videos?
Absolutely.
All right. You just come on the screen real quick. You just say what's up, man.
What's up?
Like your hat.
Appreciate it.
Nice to
Yes.
meet you. He's like, oh my gosh. I think we kind of scared him. But thank you again for coming on. I appreciate it so much. And thank you for answering my questions because I don't know a whole lot about stimulants. So I appreciate learning a little bit more about them from a firsthand instead of, reading something that, is just a textbook explanation. Like I said, I like to hear things firsthand because you understand exactly because you were there, so you would know better than what I'm reading. So same with everybody out there listening to this. So thank you so much. It was really nice meeting you for in person, so to speak. Yeah, I'm not gonna say goodbye for now because I feel like I'd like to get in contact with you in like 6 months and see how things are going with what you're doing. So I'll say goodbye, but I won't say like completely goodbye because I definitely wouldn't mind bring like talking again and seeing how you've grown within like the six in 6 months or something. Because like I mean, you're just so passionate. I just want to see where it goes for you, actually, because I'm excited for you for the future, and I really hope that somebody comes along and helps push you towards that goal of having that rehab center. So I'm just, yeah. So
All right, absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was great talking to you.
thank you, and you have a good rest of your day.
You as well.
And I'll talk to you shortly.
Talk to you shortly. See you.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint,
batteries,
tools,
toilet paper,
extension cords, grocery items,
hardware for my cabinets,
snack items, crackers, and some canned good stuff.
Shop back supplies,
toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big.